But I felt like the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, let's interrupt that series this week and kind of put a cap on what we've been experiencing through this 40 days of fasting and prayer. One of the things I wanted to mention off of the top, we have plates on the back wall where different folk have said, this is how I'm participating in fasting during this time. I wanted to tell you how that came about. When we did our week of fasting and prayer, we put out a survey to see how people, if they had any suggestions for our 40 days fasting and praying. And one of the suggestions that came up over and over again was people would like to feel more a part of a community while they're doing it. They would like to connect with other people who might be fasting the same that they are. So if you're fasting social media, then you could not contact the other people fasting social media and kind of feel a network there. And that's where the idea came from. And somebody mentioned to me this week, it kind of goes against, you know, the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You know, do your fasting in secret and so on. And I get that. And so I took that before the Lord and I said, how do these two things fit together? I feel like the Lord enlightened me and said, generally speaking, when you fast and pray, you ought to do that in secret and you're not doing it as a show to anybody else. But there were also times in Israel when a fast was called for. And when a fast is called for, then everybody had to step up to the plate. In fact, if you didn't participate as was slated, then you could get kicked out of the community, actually. Now, we're not planning on kicking anybody out if your plate's not up there or what have you. But I'm just saying there are times when the community together, it's not a secret that we're fasting. We're going to do this with reason, with purpose. And that's what we were doing during this 40 days. And I say that so as I hope I didn't offend anybody by putting our display back there. If I did, I wanted to explain that from a biblical perspective. And of course, you will or will not receive my explanation. But we're trying to do things right and trying to seek the Lord together as we move forward. One of the curious lessons that I've learned while I'm fasting has been that I'm always hungry. I'm always hungry. It doesn't matter if I just ate. I'm still hungry. In fact, I'm better able to control my appetite when I'm fasting than when I'm eating. Doesn't it just seem like simple logic that if I'm eating, if I just had a big meal, I would be satisfied and therefore not thinking about food any longer because that was taken care of. And if I've not eaten for a couple of days, you would think food would just be on my mind constantly, like, I gotta eat, I think I'm starving to death here. But my experience, and this may not have been yours, but my experience has been exactly the opposite. After 3 days of going without food, I had this thought and feeling like, I could do this forever. I don't think I have to go back to eating. Well, of course, my mind was telling me, sooner or later, you're going to have to. But as far as control was concerned, as far as appetite was concerned, I really liked having control over what had been out of control before in my life. And it just is so curious to me. Now, I saw that on your plates out there, a number of you did the fasting, the intermittent fasting, where you'll eat for a block of 8 hours during the day and then fast for 16 hours. I wonder if your experience was anything like mine. After I started with a three-day fast and then I went to intermittent fasting several times throughout the week. And I found that when I was in that fasting period, I was just fine. But as soon as I started eating, as soon as my 8 hours started, it was like a little gun went off. I would have the same lunch that I would have had before, but then I'd think, well, you know, I'm still hungry. I'd make up for the breakfast that I skipped before the lunch. And then the closer I got to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever my my last hour was, I thought, you know what, this is my last chance. I'll bet I'll be hungry tomorrow morning, so I got to get something else in there. Maybe you're not lying, but as I've confessed to you before, food is my addiction. And I found this so curious that when I gave my flesh a little bit, it inflamed it. The logic would say, satisfy it and you'll be fine. There is no satisfying the flesh. Either the flesh is in control or the spirit is in control. And again, I could cut it off at the hour and not eat until, but then as soon as the flesh would start to work again, it just amazing. I've learned that appetite is the key to a happy life. If you want to have a good life, you have to establish healthy appetites. That's where the work needs to go. I can force myself against my desires for a while, short term. Long term, it's harder. But if I find that my flesh still wants, it wears you down. It's a hard life to live. And where our work has to be is not on our action level. Our work has to be on our appetite level. God, I need better appetites. Teach me. Show me how to develop the right, because I'll do what I want to do. I like doing what I like to do. That makes sense? So I have to change my likes. And if God says, don't like that, but I like that, He will help me get to a place where I don't like the things that aren't good for me. And He will help me get to a place. But all of us have settled in our hearts or our minds on some kind of an issue. I've decided I don't like that. I don't know how many people have told me, I don't like to read. And I cringe a little bit when they say that. It's probably true, of course. But I was in that position myself when God called me into ministry. And I understood I was in trouble because reading is a huge part of ministry, drinking good stuff in. So, I just sat down and I had a talk with God. Look, if we're going to do this thing. And He gave me a love for reading. So you understand, we feel how we feel. We are at where we're at. We need to be honest with that. But we're not stuck where we're at. And what we need to change is our appetites. And we need to quit saying, I hate this. I can't stand that. I'll never get used to this. We're really sealing our own tomb in a lot of ways. And we need to begin to believe what God has said. We can restrain ourselves to have better appetite, retrain ourselves to have better appetites physically, mentally, spiritually, and eat ourselves to a better life. You've heard the phrase, you're eating yourself to death. Well, eat yourself to life. What would be a better life? That's what we were talking about when we entered in this whole thing. I want to be a better person. We want to have a better church. We want to have a better world. And so, God, what needs to take place? What needs to happen here? You've probably heard that phrase, garbage in, garbage out. It's true. Healthy intake, healthy life. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. That's what this whole emphasis has been about. If you've not been on board, if you've not taken part, it's okay. You can start today. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, verses you probably have memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him. And He will make your paths straight. Father, we're praying this scripture today. We want to submit to You, more and more and over and over in our lives. We're not where we want to be yet. And so we're submitting to you, God. And we're asking you to make our ways straight. Get those kinks out, those crooked things that are killing us. Help us to get our thinking right and our lives where they should be. And God, I just pray you'd visit with us during this message. I knew when we started this whole thing 6 months ago, you told me there was going to be trouble. Anytime we poke at the flesh, whether it's ours or somebody else's, there is a backlash. And Lord God, I am learning in myself, as I'm sure my friends have too, just how unreasonable our flesh is. We know better. We just don't do better. And if any of us is going to get from the knowing to the doing, it's going to take your help and your anointing. So God, we humbly come before you today and we say thank you for all the progress that's been made in our lives. But please, let's not stop now. God, lead us on. Lead us on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to take you back 6 months or so ago, when we first started talking about the concept of fasting and praying, of having a week that would set us up for 40 days, that would set us up for a change for the rest of our lives. I read a prophecy that one of our brothers at the church received as we were in a service together, and he emailed it to me the next day. I read it to you some months ago, and I went back to that, and I thought, wow, I think that that has proven true over the last little bit of time. God is taking the church to a new level. Though I am shaking everything throughout the world that can be shaken, I am now beginning with each and every member of New Life Assembly of God. I will shake the things in your life till I get the desired result for each person. It may be hard, it may be painful, and it may be troublesome. But it is necessary for everyone to experience this to produce in your lives what I want from you and for you. Everyone must repent of the things in their life that is offensive to me. I want to pour myself out in this body, but I cannot put my spirit into a broken vessel. I desire to fill each of you, but I must first cleanse, purify, and purge each vessel. I am preparing you for what is coming and for where I intend to take my church, because I will soon return. It will not be long before the trumpet sounds. I arise off my throne and come to call my own to myself. Before this happens, I will send my spirit in such a way that the world has never known before. I'm going to ask you to give up and forsake things that may be significant to you, but they're not significant to me or what my purpose is for you. When I cleanse you, I will then put upon you a burden for the lost. This burden will at times be heavy and grievous. It may be hard to bear, but I will strengthen you. Do you know why there has not been revival in your land? My word says that you have not because you ask not. There is not revival because my people are not hungry enough for the things concerning me and my Father. You are more concerned about yourselves than you are about those who do not know me. This must change for me to be able to pour out my spirit in this place. Repentance must come upon you, and you must recognize that this is my purpose for saving you from the pit of hell. How can you say you know me and not be burdened for those who are dying apart from me? I desire for everyone in this place to have a burning passion for the lost, starting with your immediate family, your extended families, your neighborhoods, your schools, the town in which you live, and in this nation, as well as in the rest of the world. But it all begins with you. You each must seek me regarding the lost of this world. This is my whole purpose for the church. Sanctify yourselves, all of you, and repent. And come to me, and I will in no wise cast you out, but rather will put my own desires in your heart, that I may work in and through you. Then will your reward be great in heaven. You can't imagine what I have prepared for you. All these changes are of me, and I will surely perform what I have said. So think back over the last 6 months. Had any shaking in your life? Any changes going on? Any long-standing things been challenged in your life? God's very serious about what he's doing here in our church. When I read this, since I've read this, we've lost 6 significant families from our church body, members of our congregation, people I thought would be with us for the duration. And none of them went stomping out the door. There was no trouble. There were no problems. They just felt like the Lord was leading them somewhere else. And I hope that's what's happened. But here at the church, what a shaking. 6, 8, 10 months ago, I was telling everybody, this is the best board we ever had at New Life Assembly. That's not a diss on the boards we had before, because I've always enjoyed the boards and the people on the board. But you could just watch. I could just watch through history how God was building us and bringing us to better places, budget-wise and in every way. And so there were 6 members and myself sitting on the board, 7 of us. Now there's 3 that have left the church in the last 6 months, and 2 are up for re-election. I think I'll still be here for a little while. Shaking. But God, I like this treasurer. God, I like these board members. I thought finally we... Shaking. Changes. Not just at the church, but you. Maybe you got a bad doctor's report. Maybe you've been through something. Maybe something with one of your kids, your job. Shaking. It's all right. God's got you. This is of God, and he's bringing about a good purpose in each and every one of us. But if we're going to survive this shaking, we need to stop leaning on old lies, habits, and patterns that are killing us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean. Don't try to figure this out. Don't, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? What can I do? Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. I like that translation, submit to him. Just, okay, God, this isn't the way I would have chosen. This isn't my plan. But I trust that you're in charge. Submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Don't you love your rearview mirror, spiritually speaking? You can always see what God was doing. At the time, it was, but when you look back, you say, oh, yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad. I wouldn't have chosen that highway, but I'm glad that's where God took me. Well, now we need to take what we've learned in the rearview mirror and apply it to the windshield. He brought me through. He's bringing me through. Now, this is a surprise to him. He's got a purpose. Now, I need to tune in a little bit more focused. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not, but sometimes I'm going down the road, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to turn the radio on. I could use some good music. And it's already on. I don't know, is that just me where I live? But, you know, it's not focused. There's music going on. There's good lyrics going on. I'm listening to Christian radio. But I'm not getting any of it because I'm... And the same thing can happen to us when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and trying to guide us in our life. You can be too busy for God. Your mind can be too muddled to hear. And we need to learn to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Tune in, focus. He is speaking. If we will listen. We need to stop overspending. Stop overeating. Stop drinking from the world's cesspool of entertainment. Stop telling yourself and others that you can't stop. Well, I can't this and I can't that. No. You're sealing your fate. Words kill and words give life. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I might not change it today, but I can start. I have the power in the name of Jesus. Start believing the promises of God. And if you're going to believe them, you've got to read them. You've got to get into the Word every day. And your Word can be on tape, that's fine. You can listen to the Word of God, but get the Word, the Word, the Word. Listen to good preaching. We have available to us. We all know that social media can be a bad thing, it can be a hurtful, but it can be a wonderful thing. We now have access to good preaching and teaching 24/7. Take advantage of more of it. Not that you have to do it 24/7. But take advantage of more of the Word coming in and then believe what you hear from the Word of God. The Lord has been showing me recently that we really are very powerful. I've taught you for a long time we're all a bunch of idiots, right? We got that one down. But now God is showing me, oh, we are really more than idiots. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are powerful. Every individual is because we are made in the image of God. Even people who don't serve the Lord have been empowered by God with certain abilities and talents, and they're able to do amazing things. But how much more so when we bring that in under the umbrella of God and we allow Him to energize those gifts and those abilities in His calling, when we find out why we were created and what we were to accomplish. The devil wants to give us dozens of excuses to stay addicted to his thinking and miss these wonderful opportunities. He wants to tell you you're no good at this and you're no good at that, and nobody loves you and nobody cares and there's not a play. Have you learned yet to discern the difference between the stinking thinking that God, that the devil gives you, and the glorious promises that God breathes into you for life? With God's breath comes life. It builds up. It strengthens. It empowers you. The devil's trying to leak out of your system everything that God has breathed into you, and he's trying to steal from you. And I hate to say it, but there are many, maybe the majority of people in church have been anesthetized by the enemy. They're not fulfilling their ministry. They're not fulfilling their call. They're not doing what they were born to do because they're all crippled by these lies, these wrong influences, the things they've come to misbelieve in their life. The devil gives us those excuses, but God gives us opportunities. Stop leaning on your own understanding and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you truth that will improve your life. You and I were created in the image of God to rule and reign over our lives. What did God say to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply, rule over the fish of the sea, and rule over the whole world. At the very least, you are meant to leave a significant impact on this world, you. The very least you should be in control over is your own life. We have so many people who are out of control, and then they're over control of government and business and so many other things. Entertainment. We got the wrong people in charge of a lot of things because they've not conquered themselves yet. They're not under self-control. And you and I were created to rule. You're not a victim of circumstance. You are a child of God. Arise. Take control of you. Take responsibility for your life, your mind, your heart, your spirit, your body. I was musing on that this morning, self-control. That's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. We like to control everybody else. We like to control the circumstances, situations, and we can't. And that's frustrating. What we can do is control ourselves, but we don't want to. We just want to satisfy that flesh and give it what it says it wants, and maybe it'll be happy, but it's never worked. And God says we need to change that around. I can't change my wife. I can't change my kids. I can't change my parents. But myself, I have control over. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I need to start with me. I need to start with me. And find paths of righteousness that lead to good things. And then the Bible says, today, right now, it's very powerful. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Did you know that salvation is for more than lost people? Salvation, there's a word there, Zoe, give life. And it means wholeness. To be saved is to be made whole. That's what the scriptures teach us. Today is the day of wholeness. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of strengthening. You may have been made into hamburger. You may have been through the grinder this week. It might have been difficult. Today is a day of salvation. You made it. The Spirit of the living God is here, making today very powerful. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. A lot of us roll out of bed. We just, Oh, no, is it today? I thought I was done with today's. We should jump out of bed and say, today, this is God's day. And God doesn't waste days. This is a day of victory in his heart and in his mind. Look forward to it. Maybe it doesn't come in the next little 24 hours, but you know, if you know God, victory is ahead. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I may still ache a little bit today. I may still struggle. I may still have that temptation, but I'm winning. Because God has called me more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The battle may be prolonged, but victory is certain. So not only are you powerful as a child of God, today is powerful because it is a creation of the Lord as well. I don't know about you, but if I'm God, I would watch the nightly news and I would get my controller and I'd say, bink. Not just the news. I'd say, I'm done with the world. We've had enough days. Things aren't getting better. Things getting worse. So, bink. I don't know if God gets tired of watching nightly news or not. I do. Bink. Do you know why there's a today and it didn't end last night? God's not done. And he wears the victor's crown. And when he is done, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Woohoo! Wow! That's amazing, God, what you did. We'll see the beginning through the end, and we'll say, that was perfect. Perfect in all of your ways. That was astounding, God. The Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. Because he lives, the song says, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face today. You ever stub your toe or you have trouble with some kind and What is the thing we say? Oh, it's going to be one of those days. Who won that? The devil just taught you something. Don't expect anything good to come out of today, because look how it started. But the word says, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And you may not believe me, but when your appetites change, you can start being thankful for the things that you used to despise. Oh, that pain in my big toe, I just stopped. That makes me feel alive. I know I'm here. You want to be focused? Yeah, that'll do it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God is right here, right now, and all things are possible. I don't care how long you may have wrestled with a difficulty in your life, all things are possible. All things are possible because He lives. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to examine in your life is to see if there's any harmful things that you need to step away from. Are there any harmful sources of death in your life? There may be a relationship that is killing you. And you may not be able to get away from that person. You may work for that person. You may live with this person. But that relationship has to change. It cannot continue as it has been. And for some, you just need to break off from that relationship. I heard a testimony of a person this morning who they were a quote-unquote social drinker. They understood that their mother, this was a lady, her mother was an alcoholic, but she never considered herself an alcoholic. She was a social drinker. And then she found out the Lord brought to light in her life how her whole world revolved around alcohol. All of her social activities had to do with alcohol, the bar, the parties. That whole setting was alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. Through that, it brought her to repentance. She got saved through it all. But then when she got saved, she looked around and said, that was my life. And so she started a whole new work and bringing people who had been rescued from alcoholism and excesses of many different kinds. And they're having a wonderful fellowship together, and it's growing, and it's becoming a very beautiful thing. But she had to step away. She had to say, you know what, this is not right. This is not good. I thought it had it under control, but it had me under its control. There may be a habit of some kind that you need to step away from. There may be a source of entertainment in your life that has either become too large in and of itself, or it's just not even a good source to start with. It's got some bad stuff. I gotta get moving here. I'm sorry. So I'm going to ask you to examine your life. Is there something you need to step away from? And I'd like to tell you a little story about a program that became very special to Barb and I over the last year. Somehow or other, we heard about this program, This Is Us, on NBC. And somebody had said, this is a great program. I think you would enjoy this. And being that my wife is pretty much disabled, if she's up to it, I'll take her out to a restaurant. We'll have a meal. That's about all the time out of that. I think we went grocery shopping for a few minutes the other day. That's the first she's been in a grocery store in probably 6 or 8 months. And so we're always looking for something that can help us connect. You know, where can we meet together? And so we found this program. It's on demand. And so we started streaming the episodes. And whenever I had an evening at home and we could be together, we'd sit there on the couch together, you know, a little bowl of popcorn, and we'd turn an episode on. And it was kind of our dating thing to do, and it was pretty neat. And here the family that, if you've never seen the show, there are flashbacks to the way things were, and then it brings you up to modern days of how this family is doing now. And as they flashed back and the program began, it set in Pittsburgh. Barb and I were both born and raised in Pittsburgh. Gets better than that. They're Steeler fans. So you know they're wonderful people. And so even their language, Yuns and so on, is our language. They're speaking our language here, you know. And it's set in the 70s. Well, we were teenagers in the 70s. It was set in the Super Bowl run, you know, 4 rings in 6 years, you know. Woohoo! This is our time, you know. And so we're getting into this program. And the first episode is just so moving. It's Super Bowl and, you know, all this is going on. And the guy, he wants to have kids. And the lady, she don't want to have kids, but they celebrate the Super Bowl. And she's pregnant with triplets. And so it's coming about that she's going to be given birth and they get her to the hospital. And oh, man, they've got it all set up there. They got 3 cribs ready and everything's going on. Well, 2 of the babies were born healthy. The 3rd one didn't make it. And, oh, you know, they're happy, but they're sad at the same time. And, you know, you're all caught up in this. And the doctor comes in and he says, you know what? This could be an opportunity. While you were giving birth, a fireman brought in a baby that was dropped off at the firehouse. He found it outside in a basket, and it needs a family. You could still take 3 babies home. And so they do that, and that's how this family is formed. You know, they've got a black son and 2 white kids, and, you know, this is all good stuff, you know, anti-racism and so on. And we're going episode after episode with these people, and we're calling our friends, and we're, you know, Barb's Facebook, you gotta watch this series. This is really good stuff, you know. And we're enjoying one another's company and all the things that are, but then it just starts to turn. The fellow up there on the left, a handsome fellow, becomes an actor, and he meets with some success. And in that success, it brings him other things, and he's living such an immoral lifestyle that it's not unusual in one episode for him to be with a couple of different women. That's not graphic or anything, you know, but it's certainly implied, you know, it's clear. And then the daughter up there on the right, she finds a boyfriend, and they become very promiscuous, and you're going through the ups and downs. And then there's always the language. It's not how we talk in our house, and you know, that always kind of made us cringe a little bit. Then there's this critical scene you get to where that doctor who brought that 3rd child to them, so significant in their lives, he's having a surgery that he may not wake up from. And so this little family is gathered there, and he doesn't have much family. They're kind of his family, and they're really pulling for this guy. And so the young man walks out, one of the children walks out, and he walks around the corner. There's this display, and there's several religions displayed there. There's Islam, there's Christianity, it's Christmas time, and there are a couple other religions. Their symbols are all there. There's a Jewish symbol and so on. And he says to the lady, which one do I pray to? And so there's this moment, you know. And she says, well, anyone will do, just as long as you have faith. You know, we cringe a little bit. And then we're introduced to this fellow. We find the father of the adopted son. And he's a really nice fella. He's an old jazz musician. He's smooth. He's cool. He's wise. He's intelligent. You know, we just love when he's interacting with the characters because, you know, he's just an old sage, and you just love this guy. And you don't learn this in the first episode. It's, you know, a couple episodes down the line that then you find out he's not just gay. He's bisexual. And it's not that he's just all of that. He's given an opportunity to state his philosophy on sexuality. It's not refuted. It's not challenged at all. It's, oh, okay, good. Well, you know, to each his own. And Barb and I look at each other. We're vested in these characters. We know them. I mean, we're on the verge of praying for these people one episode after another, you know, because they got all this stuff going on, you know, but we snap back to reality. It's a show. And we decided, no, we can't do this. We can't keep eating at this trough any longer. We'll have to find a different way to connect and have date night and so on. But here's the kicker. I'm listening to Word FM, Kevin and Taylor in the morning. I'm on my way to the office listening. Taylor says, you know, there's a show my husband won't watch with me anymore. Kevin says, hey, what's that? This Is Us. What? Yeah. I guess it's too emotional for him. He lost his sister not long ago, and they were really close, and it brings up a whole bunch of stuff. And Kevin responds to her, how can anyone not love this show? There's something in it for everyone. And I know there was a line in there I remembered where he said, you know, we need to get the kids back. We need to get the kids to church. They were asking questions. We need to get to get. So, you know, there's little tidbits that if you really wanted to justify, you could. And I love Kevin and Taylor. They're wonderful hosts. They're Christian people. So I want to say to you, I understand that I'm not in the mainstream of what's going on, even in Christianity today. And if your convictions are different than mine, I'm not saying you have to feel the same way about everything the way I feel. You get that? But I'm just being honest with you that, you know, I am grieved at what I was bringing into my own living room. And it started out so nice. It started out so innocent. It got us vested in it. And we had to step back. But now we got hosts of a Christian radio show advertising, encouraging, this is a good thing for you and your family. Do you feel my pain, or is it just, am I just being a pain? You know, you hear where I'm coming from. And it's not just that. There's all kind of movies and entertainments that are going. One of the ways we replace this is Tubi. I'll give you an advertisement. Tubi is an app you can download, and you got a choice of many, many movies on there, and some of them are awesome. There are Christian movies on there. Some of them, no. And I can't tell you how many times we started a movie 3 minutes in and, you know, let's try something else. But what I'm saying this morning is take responsibility for your life. If you're going to be drinking garbage in, don't fool yourself that it's not affecting you. Don't think that you can be such a good filter that the garbage doesn't come in with the entertainment value or these kinds of things. The Bible says, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. We're not just mentioning it, we're displaying it. We're becoming part of it. Like, what did I say? I was vested in this show. I knew these characters. We were, you know, hopeful for what would come about. It is shameful even to mention, but we watch and listen to it. We're emotionally invested. The books we read, the shows we watch, the music we listen to. Now, I'm not asking you to become removed from the world, sports and food and such. But trimming may need to take place. I spent a whole year away from football. I just felt like it was becoming too important to me. And the thing that surprised me at the end of a season of not having watched any football was I really didn't miss it as much as I thought I was going to. I'm back to watching football, and I'm a fan, and I enjoy that and so on. And God is showing me, He wants me to enjoy life and the good things of life in balance. But when it gets out of balance, so my concern this morning is for anyone who feels stuck or trapped, whether it's about food or entertainment or lust, today is powerful. Your life could change right here. You could have a new course moving forward. All things are possible today with you because you are a child of God. And it can start right now at this moment. I don't know if anything's been on your heart or mind while I've been talking. Or maybe something will flash later on today or this week. You know what? That's one of those things he's talking about. Could be your temper. Maybe you've had anger issues. It might be a taste. What should you do differently starting now? What do you hope to become tomorrow? Would you stand with me this morning?